हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रीहाद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
okay, so page 74. Sri Govindabhasya, Siddhanta. Consciousness as a quality of the jiva is eternal. Why? Because other than the statement, pritag, that the jiva is the seer, there are teachings of the jiva having eternal knowledge. In Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 4.5.14, avinashi va are yam atmanu chitti dharma. The soul's consciousness is never destroyed. The soul does not become conscious merely by contact with the mind. For soul and mind are both indivisible and cannot interact. Turning away from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the soul obscures its natural spiritual knowledge. Turning towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the soul revives its natural spiritual consciousness. This is described in the Smriti Shastra. Quote, as by washing away the dirt that covered a jewel, the jewel's splendor is not created but merely uncovered. So by removing the dirt of materialism that covered the soul's splendor is not created, but merely uncovered. As by digging a well, water is brought forth, but not created. So, by spiritual activities, the nature of the soul is brought forth, but not created. How would it be possible to create the soul's qualities from nothing? Right? Because otherwise, that means if you're just taking the soul that's covered, I mean, just taking the soul, it's not a matter of covering. Then when you remove that covering, right, then you have to have nothing, and then from that you have to create something, which doesn't make sense, or it has to be, it's already there. Yes. Does that make sense?
Maharaj, so then over your, what is it that you need to uncover the jewel by washing away the dirt. So then, the practice of devotional service, Vaidhi Sadhana, is the means of
washing away.
And some of them also say that apart from this, there is a second method also.
Second method?
Yeah.
So okay, what is the second method? A car wash? A spa? They say bleach.
I just got this information recent now in the holidays, you know, so I just thought, and it's related. So,
yeah, but what is the second method?
The second method is that Vaidhi is important, and that is the basics. But then we can also come to the Raga platform by taking the Siddha Pranali mantras, and that is, you know, the fastest.
You have weird holidays. If this is the people you're associating with on your holidays, I would recommend a Caribbean cruise over this. Does that make sense? In other words, people that give you Sahajiya philosophy, I wouldn't associate with them.
That's Sahajiyism.
Yeah, that's straight up front Sahajiya. That's what we've been. Have I mentioned it? I've been mentioning it for the last couple of months. That by Siddha Pranali, that you gain Siddha Pranali from the Guru, then in that way you'll come to the platform of Rag.
And they quoted Vilas Kusumanjali and Prema Bhakti Chandrika.
Vilap Kusham Anjali and
Prema Bhakti Chandrika.
Prema Bhakti Chandrika. Yeah, still doesn't work. Vilap Kusham Anjali never mentions that. They don't mention that. Why would they mention that? You know what I'm saying? These are just the... We have our association that we're recommended. And if we stick in that association, then there's no problem. But when we go outside of that association, we start hanging out with the Radhakund Babaji's or the Govardhan Babaji's or... generally nobody does it, but the Navadvip Babaji's. I don't think anybody's... Because you'd have to be very... Bengali and cultured and into rice and dal to do that one. So then they pick these things up. And then from that it gets introduced into the you know, amongst the proper Vaishnavas. But this is just 100% bogus. That's all. It's not even anything less than that. Because the point is, let's say you have a little girl, okay? She's 3 years old and, you know, Barbie and Ken are getting married every day, like that. And then you tell her, okay, and, you know, after another, you know, how you say, 12, 13 years, that boy over there you're going to marry. Right? Now does she suddenly bloom into this, you know, youthful girl and everything like that and has all the mood, everything like that, it all happens just because you told her that you're going to marry that guy? Then why would this happen? We have to understand that it's the soul's choice to surrender to Krishna and make it about Krishna. Because this whole point of Siddha Pranali, it's still not about Krishna. It's still just about, I'm going to be this and this pastime and that pastime. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And I'm going to roll around in ecstasy. And where does Krishna come into this? Where is it about Krishna? They talk about the Astakala Lila, but it's not about Krishna. It's about them. So it's all about secondary items. The Siddha Pranali, by that secondary method, now I become. You know? You have to be careful. Next holiday, somebody will tell you, no, the guru will touch you on the head, and then it will all work. So then we have three methods, you know? Like that. I mean, it's another method in Bengal, since we're picking up Bengali methods.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Yeah, so you have to be very, very careful. These things are just, they're not proper. Even if the devotees are mentioned to you, they're nice devotees, but where did they get it from? Because they didn't make it up themselves, guaranteed.
They got it from Radhakunda devotees.
Yeah, and the Radhakunda devotee, what are they doing at Radhakund?
I have no idea.
Yeah, so that's the whole point.
They're holidays.
Yeah, their holiday, yeah. Holiday from sampradayic life, yes. So, that's the whole point. People just say this because it's easy. That's why, you understand the word sahajya? Sahaj means it's easy. So they're just looking for this easy method. But it's without authority. They may say it's in the scripture, but they don't really care. Because that's the whole basis of this haji. It's not based on scripture. So, therefore, if it's not based on scripture, why are they quoting it? Right? Remember, before it was from Sahajayan Buddhism. So it was already there in Bengal. In other words, Bengalis are going to change stuff. That's just the way it works. So even Buddhism, they're going to change that and then make Sahajayan Buddhism. So in other words, they were the Sahajiyas of the Buddhists. Then when Gaudiya Vaishnava comes along, and that then instead of, you know, Shiva and Parvati, you have Radha and Krishna, and, you know, Haribol. But that they're still the Sahajiyan Buddhists, right? So now they make the Sahajiya, you know, how you say, Gaudiya. Because it's not about that, it's just about your bhav, your feeling, and this and that. And yeah. But it is about the feeling, but the point is it has to be the appropriate. It's not just that it's your feeling. It's your feeling towards Krishna. Because their thing is what I'm feeling. Oh, I'm feeling the ecstasy. It's always about themselves. If you analyze, it's always about themselves. It's not about Krishna. Does that make sense?
Yes, Maharaj.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's just like, let's say I'm in Paris. Okay. And in Paris, then we're near the Eiffel Tower. And we take a selfie, you know, with the Eiffel Tower in the background. Is it about the Eiffel Tower or is it about us? Yeah, that's all. So that's the whole point, is that it's in the context of around Krishna, but it's not about Krishna. Because otherwise, you have to work. There's no simple point. You have to surrender. You have to give up your material desires. That's what you have to do. So there's no second method. There's only bhakti. As if it's a second method, that means it's not bhakti. Because there's bhakti, and then there's a second method, which is not bhakti. Right? Because they're saying, oh no, but there's vaidhi, and then this is rag. But then why do you have to follow this structure? Why do you have to do this? Why do you have to get the siddhaparana? Why do you have... And it's based on shastra. Now, by definition, in Ragvartmachandrika, right? It says that that faith which is based on the you know, rules of scripture, that's vaidhi sadhana. And they're basing this on the scripture and saying this is what has to be done. You understand?
No,
so it's just vaidhi.
Well, this last point I did not get.
You didn't understand it.
Yes,
it means we're saying, no, it's all about rag, it's not about all the vaidhi. And how do we know that? From the scriptures. And then what are you supposed to do then? Oh, then you follow this process.
Mm-hmm.
So all it is they've made up another process.
Yes.
You know, it's their own speculative religion. That's why we say it's an apasampradaya. They made up their own religion. They may have many, many points in common with us,
mm-hmm.
but that doesn't mean it's correct. Does that make sense? Okay, let's say I am making sambar. And in it, I have the tour dal, I have the, you know, the bendi, I have the sojna, I mean, I have the, you know, whatever, drumsticks, you know, everything's there. You know, the consistency, the color, everything's perfect. Right? And then I make a chance. Right? And I put the, depending upon where you're from, the coconut oil or the sesame oil, you know, according to your particular preference. And then when it's hot, then, you know, you put in whatever it is, the dal, like that. And when it starts to blend like that, then I throw in a handful of oregano. And then when that's just touched like that, then I throw it on top of the sambar. Good? Bona fide?
No.
No, why not?
Oregano? Oregano, not coriander.
Okay, what happened to the mustard seeds?
Yeah, that is required in the chaucha.
That's what we're talking about, the chaucha. Okay?
Yes,
so, everything's exactly the same, 99%, but that one point I've done something different. So, is it sambar?
No.
No. That's the whole thing.
Pizza sauce.
Huh?
It's a pizza sauce.
Yes. But the Italians wouldn't like it either, because what's the drumsticks doing? It's pizza with drumsticks on top. You understand? That's the whole thing. That's why the Vedanta Sutra is there in such a fine way, showing what's exactly pure devotional service and what's not. Because otherwise, oh, it's Vedic, so it must be okay. Or it's Gaudiya, it must be okay. Or it's, no, it has to be exactly according to the Sampradaya. Otherwise, it's not okay. So one has to be very, very careful about this. Otherwise, like I said, next you'll be hearing about the guru touches you on the head and then everything becomes okay.
Mm.
That's super popular. Really popular. You don't even have to go to Radhakund for that one.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So, Maharaj, it seems that to have the right consciousness with the right association is essential.
It's essential.
And if we miss one of the two, means we don't have the right consciousness, we don't have the right association, it's always problems.
There's always problems, yeah. Because we won't properly advance, we won't
yes.
properly take advantage. Yes. And then when we get these bogus philosophies that just make the... See, for Krishna, it's the effort that the jiva puts into it
yes. Yes.
that endears the jiva to Krishna.
Yes.
Because Krishna's arranging all the things. He, like we said before, he's the life force.
Yes.
And from that life force, then you're inspired to, you know, engage the mind, intelligence, senses, and everything in activity. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, if the life force is not so active, you're not inspired.
Yes.
Right? So Krishna is the inspiring element. So when we use that in his service, that's when he's pleased.
Mm-hmm.
So when we look for these secondary easy ways out, it's some technique, it's some method, it's something. No, it's just what the acharyas have given us, and just do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no shortcut.
Yes.
You know, we're always looking for, because the shortcuts have already been given. Just associate with devotees, chant, you know, hear, chant about the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of Krishna and the association of devotees.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. That we've been given that. That is the shortcut. But we're trying to find other, you know, because whatever it is, that's standard. So we don't understand. When it says rahasya, it means that's rahasya.
Yes.
As was being said, that even Brahma does not necessarily understand these things.
Yes.
You know, in other words, the position of Brahma, the most intelligent person who understands the whole creation on the secondary aspect, the mechanics of it, even he can't understand. So that means Krishna's beyond the secondary. He's beyond the mechanics. So we have to be very careful that these aspects don't come. Because it said, on one side is impersonalism, on the razor's edge, you know, and on the other side is sahajya.
Yes.
These are the two options. So you have a razor's edge, and then you have unlimited, you know, on impersonal, and unlimited on sahajya. And just that one thing that will exactly get you Krishna. So if that's what you want, you'll get it. And if you want something else, you want something cheap, that's easy. You know, we're thinking, oh, that's the rare thing. No, to find bona fide sampradayic Vaishnavas, you know, that's the rare thing. To find sahajiyas and impersonalists, they're a dime a dozen. You know, probably even cheaper these days because you get them online from Amazon, right? You know, so they're not even that much. You get it for half price. Does that make sense? Yeah, so you should be very careful about this kind of scene. Okay, then continuing. Similarly, when material faults are destroyed, the soul's qualities become revealed. That's what it's saying. You just follow the process and it becomes removed. It's not that there's a technique of rag. That's why it's not described. As they say, I will give you rag. I will do that. That's bogus. There's no technique in that. That's the whole point. Does that make sense? Yeah. Similarly, when material faults are destroyed, the soul's qualities become revealed. The soul's qualities are eternal. They are never created.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just uncovering what's already there. So they're taking advantage of that, and that there's some easy way to uncover. No, you have to work. You know? It's just like this. You have the ring. It has mud on it. Right? So we're saying you take the thing, put it under water, wash the dirt off. Right? And then the splendor of the jewel then stands forth. So now we're saying, well, that's one way of doing it. The other way is, I'll just tell you that underneath all that mud, there's a jewel.
Mm-hmm.
And then because of that, now it'll shine forth.
That's bogus.
That's bogus.
Yes.
That's what you just, that's the philosophy you just told us.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yes.
There's no work involved. No, just because he told me, now I am that. So? You know, there's no training, there's no, it's just like that, now suddenly you're there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the whole point. That's the difference between the sahajya and the sampradayic devotee, is the sampradayic devotee may hear about these transcendental topics of the pastimes of the Lord and this and that, but they don't say, I'm doing this. I'm going down to the Jamuna and getting water, and then I'm bringing it back, and then I'm, you know, doing this for Radharani or this for Krishna and all that, and they meditate like that. That's a sahajya. The rag anuga means following in the footsteps, because they're saying I'm on the platform of rag, but we're rag anuga. We're following those who have rag. Then we're meditating that these other devotees, they do those things. Because we're talking, you know, this Vilap Kusha Manjali, that's Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, right? So that means that's the service he's doing, not the service we're doing.
I got it,
you understand? You know, it's like reading a biography of, let's say, Michael Jackson, and then saying, because I've read that, I am Michael Jackson. You know, it's kind of like, you know, where do they get this? Right? So that's the whole problem. That's all. Yes.
It reminds me about the mood of the gambler who thinks that without any endeavor he will just gain something.
Yes, he'll gain something just like that. That's why it's illusion. It's illusion. So that's the point. It's another illusion. They're lazy. They're unwilling to put in the effort.
So that's why the house always wins, because they do put effort?
Yes. The house puts in a lot of effort. Yeah, you think that those one-armed bandits got there, they just found it? They were going to build a building, and the one-armed bandit just happened to be sitting there, so they just built around that, and so then, hey, oh, well, we might as well let people use it. And, yeah. So they put in super amount of endeavor, you know? You know, they have professionals that check the odds, check the this, check the kind of demographic, check all these things, and then what makes people relax. You know, it's a whole science. You know, so when you walk, just outside to get you to walk in the door, and then once you've walked in, then how you're dealt with, how everything like that. It's just all so you know what I'm saying? That's just the way it works. They know the thing. So they're going to make sure they win. You know, it's like you're there at the table, you're winning. Now, if you're greedy, you'll just keep going till you lose. If somehow or another you're not, they'll send the girls over like that, and then they'll try to puff you up and all this, so that you just keep going, you know, not stop. And so then you'll lose at some point, because once you lose, generally, you know, you're not going to start winning again. Generally, you lose your enthusiasm. But now, if that doesn't work, then the guys in the suits will come over and then offer you a free room, you know, the best room in the place. You know, you can stay there and, you know, like this and like that, be our guest. You know, because they want to get their money back. Because if you stay there, you're going to eat the restaurant, you're going to come down and gamble again, or you're going to do something that they'll get their money back. You know? So they don't stop. They're organized.
No rag.
No rag. Absolutely no rag. Yeah. So, yeah, it's just business. It may not be good business. It's bad money, but it's still just business. Bhagavatam verse reference. Srimad Bhagavatam, 6.16.57. When a living entity, thinking himself different from me, forgets his spiritual identity of qualitative oneness with me in eternity, knowledge, and bliss, right? Because where else did we get it from? Right? His material conditioned life begins. Right? So when you see your connection with Krishna, then you're in your natural state. When you don't see that connection, that's when material life begins. Even if you're in the spiritual body, material life begins. So, even if we go by the thing that the someone reveals what your spiritual form is, that still doesn't mean that you can't be in material consciousness. Their take is, if I know, then knowledge is the actual thing, but that's gyan. It's not because you know, it's because you have devotion. Does that make sense? So then, you know, it's either the karmis that say it's if you're good and you're moral and all that, then that's what makes bhakti work, right? Because karma is the basis of bhakti. That's their idea. So in here, the idea jnana is the basis. I know, so because I know. You know, so what has that got to do with anything? Right? So it's that, you know, it happens. In other words, instead of identifying instead of identifying his interest with mine, means Krishna, he becomes interested in his bodily expansions, like his wife, children, and material possessions. Right? Because if you're in the spiritual world, you have all these. But you become interested in them instead of in Krishna. Right? Because we saw that the gopis that didn't go to the rasa dance, they hadn't fully been absorbed completely in Krishna. So there was still an some degree of absorption in all the family activities.
Yes.
And that distraction, then, they weren't able to go. But then in that separation from that, they burned up all their previous pious and impious activities.
Mm-hmm.
Then they became qualified to be able to go.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or those that it was just a very small amount, so immediately at that point of being stopped, it burnt up.
Yes.
Then Yogamaya arranged that they went.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that didn't, then they got locked up, and then in that meditation, then they became qualified. So they went to the next one. Right? So one has to give these things up. So being in a spiritual body isn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because they'll call it Surup Siddhi, mm-hmm. the Siddha Pranali, but it's not Surup Siddhi. It may be Surup, but it's not Siddhi. Siddhi means perfect. Perfect means you're actually in the pastimes.
Mm-hmm.
That's because you qualify, not because somebody told you who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, like that. In this way, by the influence of his actions, one body comes from another, and after one death, another death takes place. So once you move into that, then it's just you start the process of repeated birth and death. So that's where it starts. You have your interest in something other than Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever that is, it just starts the process. And from one thing, then there's a reaction,
mm-hmm.
until, you know, we're here where we have, you know, unlimited desires and unlimited reactions and all that. And so then we're very nicely entangled. Right? And so then it's only by the devotional process that we come to the point of untangling. So that means we have to identify as servant of Krishna. Not just saying. Serving means it's about Krishna. Not about us in connection to Krishna. That's called mixed devotional service. That's not wrong. It may be wrong, but it's a material wrong. We have to know that there's a difference between the two. You know, just like you suddenly have this urge to eat ice cream. That's wrong. But we're supposed to give that one up for, you know, we want to serve Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.7.21. An expert geologist can understand where there is gold and by various processes can extract it from the gold ore. Similarly, a spiritually advanced person can understand how the spiritual particle exists within the body. And thus, by cultivating spiritual knowledge, he can attain perfection in spiritual life. However, as one who is not expert cannot understand where there is gold, a foolish person who has not cultivated spiritual knowledge cannot understand how the spirit exists within the body. Footnote 42, Srila Prabhupada comments. Here is a very good example concerning spiritual understanding. Foolish rascals, including so-called gyanis, philosophers, and scientists, cannot understand the existence of the soul within the body because they are lacking in spiritual knowledge. The Vedas enjoin, Tad Gyanartam Sagurum Iva Bhigachet, Mundaka Upanishad 1.2.12. To understand spiritual knowledge, one must approach a bona fide spiritual master. Right? So then even if we take it, that just say, even if we say, okay, there is this process of Siddha Pranali, but the point is unless you're getting it from the bona fide spiritual master coming in the Parampara, how will it work? So where are they going to get this Siddha Pranali from?
Yeah, they said that they belong to the Advaita group and then Srinivas Acharya group. That way.
Yeah, but that's not our line. So what has that got to do with us? Even if you're saying that it works, It only works for them. It doesn't work for us.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you switch from this to that, why would anyone take you seriously? In Raghavartman Chandrika, there's a point specifically made on this kind of mentalities. That because they'll move around to just get what they want done, the Brajabasis will not take them seriously. They don't want them around. So the whole point is, you know, it's just like this. You have a party. Who's at the party? The people who are like-minded and that are your friends in that. Some guy wants to be in the party. Just because he shows up, does anybody want him there? No. So therefore, it's not going to work. Just because you want to be there, it's not enough. You have to be invited. By sadhana, you can get yourself up to, you know, through the stage of the Madhyamadhikari. But to get to Uttam platform, you're invited. It's invitation only. It's only because Krishna reveals, that's why. He's revealing all along, but it goes along with your work. But it's just by mercy. It has nothing to do with your work. So just because someone's whispering in your ear something doesn't mean that now he puts you on the Uttama platform and now you're part of the pastimes. You know what I'm saying? We're talking about, you know, proper, you know, aspects here. Because it's not that the secondary goes away. It's just now the secondary is transcendental.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Here the secondary is mundane. But you connect all the secondary here to Krishna, then it takes on that spiritual quality. Then they're those secondary. So they have methods. They have rules. Not just because you want to be there. Right? It means there is the desire to be there, of course. But it's not just because you want from your selfish point of view that it works. You know, or sentimental. It has to be its actual proper understanding. It's right here. An expert geologist can understand and not just say, an expert geologist can feel where the gold is. And by various emotions can extract it from the gold ore. Does it say that? Yeah. So we have to be very, very careful. And when they say they're a Dvaita or a Srinivas, that's nice. But that means they're going by the Diksha Pranali. So they don't actually take the Siksha as prominent. See, they have a problem with us because we're Siksha aligned.
Yeah.
It means our parampara, it's not necessarily all the Dikshas are all connected.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But the Sikshas are like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Narottam Das Thakur. He's the next in the Siksha line.
Mm-hmm.
But between Vishwanath and Narottam, there's, I think, about three or four gurus.
Yes.
Right?
They did not meet together.
Hmm?
They did not meet together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but that Siksha that is there, he's carrying on that same.
Mm-hmm.
So we're Siksha Pranam. You know, there's bona fide Diksha also, but we're Siksha Pranam. So this whole thing is—it's all about Diksha. It's just neophyte. It's an external point of view. Yeah. So you understand? So it's just there's nothing right about it, you know, from top to bottom.
But it's very prominent.
Because it's cheap. That's the point.
No, but the Diksha emphasis.
Neophytes will always do that.
Why?
Because they could relate to it. It's secondary. It has that bodily connection, you know.
It's related to them specifically.
It's related to them because they're connected to me. It's mentioned in Krishna Bhajanamrita that the neophyte thinks their guru is special because they're connected to themselves. Right? Because he's my guru. You know, it's not about the guru specifically, it's because he's my guru, that's why he's special. Because if I had chosen someone else, that person would be special. So it's about themselves. So the whole point is that these things are there in the devotional process. That's not actually the main problem. As long as you're connected with the parampara and you're trying to follow nicely, that there's mixes, that's expected because we've been dealing in a materialistic way since time immemorial. So it's going to be natural that that's going to be there. But it's expected that once trying, that's why we hear about the advanced positions, because we know that there's something beyond. And so then we try to understand and appreciate. Even though we may not, we try. We apply that, we try to use that in our, application of our devotional process. then we, by Krishna's grace, he's pleased, then it's revealed. Right? So that's then how the process will work. Then you understand. So the Madhyamas, they appreciate the Siksha element. But if it's just about Diksha, just like we say everyone should be guru, like Lord Chaitanya says, what's that? Something, Agya Guru Hoya Sarva. Yes. Yes. So that, then, generally, you'll see many devotees will take it, see, everybody should be a Diksha guru. But no, it just means you should go out there, explain to people about Krishna.
Yes.
So that way, you're guru.
Yes.
So whether you're guru on the general as a preacher, the third level of Siksha guru, you're on the Siksha guru on the second level as Sadguru, that's equal with the Diksha guru, or then we see as Srila Prabhupada as the founder Acharya, as the Adi guru, right? So that position we're not going to end up as. And, or there's the Diksha guru. So then within our category, there's three options. But it's always taken to mean it means Diksha. It can mean, but it doesn't, it's not generic. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, yeah. So these lines that you see is that many times the Siksha line, that's where it's going down because that's where the strong connection is. There's bona fide Diksha. But it's not necessarily that's the main connection. You know, or let's say the most prominent connection, let's say. Does that make sense? So that's the whole difficulty is that when you're dealing with the Sahajyas and that, it's all about Diksha. They're all Diksha Pranalis. They're all going to be Nityananda, Advaita, you know, here Srivas, some are Giradhar. But they're all caste Goswamis. So they fall into that group as caste Goswamis. And then on top of that, you throw in Sahajya. You know, so then two Apasampradayas. You know, why be satisfied with one? Does that make sense? So we have to be very, very careful. That's why we're careful who we talk to. You know, it may seem so nice and all things like that, but, you know. Yeah. However, as one who is not expert cannot understand where there is gold, a foolish person who has not cultivated spiritual knowledge cannot understand how the spirit exists within the body. Did we already read that?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay, because it was all still about geology. Unless one has been trained in geology, one cannot detect gold and stone. Similarly, unless one has been trained by a spiritual master, you cannot understand what is spirit and what is matter. So just telling you what you are doesn't matter, because we're already servant of Krishna. Right? So, now when we're talking about Bhav Sadhana, right? The first one, Shravana Dasa, means hearing about how I'm servant of Krishna, not who I am.
Yes.
I'm servant of Krishna. That's the generic thing. Yes. All Brajabasis are servants of Krishna.
Yes.
Every last one of them. Then within that, what kind of servant, what specific position of service they're rendering, that's Varnadasa. They take Varnadasa and try to make that as Shravanadasa, because I've heard who I am, and then Varnadasa is just adjusting with it. I've heard, you know, let's say I'm a peacock, so now I'm adjusting with how to be a peacock. No, as you hear that I am servant of Krishna, and what is the mood of service and surrender of the Brajbasis, and I'm trying to surrender like they are. Right? That will bring you to the point of being able to function in your position. But if you don't have the surrender of the Brajabasis, what does it matter who you are? We have to remember, the yogic Brahmins were in Vrindavan. It didn't work for them. You know? Didn't work for Aristasura. You know?
Imagine this will be your Svarupa, Yagik Brahman in Vrindavan.
that would be always blowing it, you know, every time. Okay. So he cannot understand what is spirit and what is matter. So in here, they can't tell what's spiritual and what's material. Mm-hmm. It's about themselves, it's material. It's not spiritual. Right? You understand? So that's why we've been discussing this point, you know, for as long as we've been having classes.
Maharaj, we have discussed this, that maybe, you know, it should be something different because...
Nothing different. Same old thing. You know, here. Right? No. Ah, wait. Different. Are you sure? Different. That's all. It's the same. It's chewing the chew. It's just the same old stuff. They'll try to present it from, but it's the same old stuff. Really, it's really simple. That's why you don't have to deal with it much in Vedanta Sutra, because it's so simple. Right? They don't get into thinking. They think it's all bogus. Like, the funny part is when it comes to it, it's interesting. Like in music, amongst the whole, most of your traditional Gaudiya music is all being played by the Sahajiyas. You know, they maintain it. They changed it 100 years ago or so, 120 years ago, maybe 130 years ago, they changed it. So they made it more, simple and upbeat and everything, you know, more popular. But otherwise, using all the traditional stuff. Now, the interesting part is when it comes to the tune, they'll say, oh, no, not so strict. This is just, you know, wrong. It's just the feelings. No, that's why sometimes when you hear these guys, you know, wailing away, some of them are really out of tune and terrible.
Some of them?
Huh? Okay. I'll give you that one. That was definitely... Yeah. Because they have this thing. But the interesting thing is when it comes to the Mridanga, oh, it's very exact. How it has to be, how you learn it, how you do everything. It's all exactly, you know, mechanical. But somehow the raga, it just doesn't matter. It's just all the feelings. And so they're totally inconsistent in what they do.
Yes.
That's the thing, is they got problems. Because it's material, so therefore it'll always have problems.
Maharaj, this indicates that there is a difference between Gaudiya line and Bengali.
You call them all Gaudiyas. Mm-hmm. You know, and then there's, you know, Sampradaya. You know, so that's why specifically there's ISKCON and we stick to that. And then you can extend a little bit, you have the Gaudiya Math. You know, and those fall in that. But when it goes beyond that, the only thing is let's say if we go to a village and have a kirtan and do lecture, they'll all come. Because there's a good chance the whole village is them anyway. So they'll all come and all that. Then by coming in contact and hearing about the bona fide, then many take up. That's what Namhattas are doing. Because basically in Bengal, it's the Hajjas, Owl Bowls, and all them, they're all prominent. And people respect them and everything like that. So, you know, that they're appreciating that someone does Nam Kirtan and that's a respectable position and all that. That's good. So they'll respect also those who are Sampradayak. But then coming in contact, then those who are more serious, who are actually, then they'll take up the bona fide process. And those who are not, they'll continue with what they're doing. Like that. But it's just, you know, you're looking for something that's different and cheap and unique and like that. But what we're doing already is different and unique. Lord Chaitanya is just so kind, he's allowing everybody to take part in the secret.
Yes.
But then we look for something that's outside of that, and then he'll always be tricked.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Yes. You know, it's just like you go downtown and there's Tiffany's. Mm-hmm. Right? And in there you can buy nice, you know, jewels.
Yes.
The guy across the street also is selling. You know, in his pawn shop, right? You know, like that, his secondhand shop. But what you're getting, you don't know, unless you know what is. But that's the point: is when you're dealing with the parampara, you know it's bona fide.
It's guaranteed.
Yes, guaranteed. That's the whole point. Because the guy across the street doesn't give a certificate. Even if he does, he'll make one for you if you want. He's got a stack of them. He just writes in for it. Yeah, yeah, why not? That makes sense. So that's the whole thing, is that do you want the diamond or do you want the glass? So that's what put Dhruva Maharaj said. I was looking for broken pieces of glass. Now I'm the jewel. So he had no interest in any benediction. You know, same with Prahlad Maharaj, same with all. They don't have any interest. So, it's very. That's what Prabhupada brings it up so many times. But despite that, still people get distracted. Because it's desire. It's what you want. So,
and we need to study Vrede, more or less.
Yes. That's why it's Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. We're always hearing and chanting about the glories of Krishna in the association of devotees. That's the... So, yeah? Good?
Yes.
Okay. Here it is said, Yogaistad Abhigya. This indicates that one who has connected himself with spiritual knowledge can understand that there is a spiritual soul within the body. However, one who is in an animalistic concept of life and has no spiritual culture cannot understand. As an expert mineralogist or geologist can understand where there is gold and can then invest his money to dig there and chemically separate the gold from the ore, an expert spiritualist can understand where the soul is within matter. One who has not been trained cannot distinguish between gold and stone. Similarly, fools, like you have something, I don't know if you have it, you come across it, you have it in America, it's called fool's gold. It's stones that have some kind of mineral in it that's not gold, but it kind of a little shiny like gold. So people who don't know will think that it's gold. So they call it fool's gold. You know, the idiot thinks, because I think that's, you know, more readily available and things. So you think, wow, I've got so much gold. And then it's not. It's okay. Similarly, fools and rascals who have not learned from an expert spiritual master what is soul and what is matter cannot understand the existence of the soul within the body. To understand such knowledge, one must be trained in the mystic yoga system, or, finally, in bhakti yoga system. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 18:55, Bhaktiyamam abhijanati, unless one takes shelter of the bhakti yoga process, one cannot understand the existence of the soul within the body. Right, so some may complain that, oh, but this is just all knowledge, we're just interested in bhakti. But the point is if you can't tell that you're not the body or the soul, how do you actually practice bhakti? Right? So there has to be that basic understanding. And the whole point is so much knowledge is there that they know. But the point is it's still just knowledge unless it's devotion to Krishna. Because that you're learning things about Krishna doesn't necessarily mean it's devotional. Right? It's interesting or, you know, whatever. And just because it's in connection doesn't mean that it's pleasing to Krishna. Just like we said, the person who crashes the party, now they come in and they know who's, you know, the host, and they go up and try to hang out with the host and try to be good buddy-buddy with the host. Is it pleasing to the host?
No.
So then how will that be bhakti? Even though you're in the house, you're in the party, you're with the host, you know, you're talking about how what a nice house he has and everything, but, you know, it's not going to work. That's the whole point. You have to know. Because if it's about mood, then it's about mood. And if you have the wrong mood, it's not going to work. Right? Does that make sense? So if we're saying it's not about Vaidhi, then why is it that you have to be in these Goswami lines? Because you'll always see they're of these lines. Right? They're never of Lord Chaitanya. We're of Lord Chaitanya's line because it's a Siksha line. They're never of Lord Chaitanya's line because it's a Siksha line. He doesn't have any Diksha disciples. Not within the Pancharatra. Right? And because there's Diksha, that means then there's Pancharatra, that means it's Vaidhi Bhakti. You understand? So it's, they accept what they want from it, they don't reject what they don't want from it. It's very haphazard. Does that make sense? Yeah. Therefore, the Bhagavad Gita begins by teaching, Dehino smin yata dehe, kaumaram yovanam jara, tata dehantara praptir, dhiras tatara namuhyati. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. Okay, so as the body changes, as we change bodies, the self-realized person is not disturbed. Because for them, it's just switching from one to the other. Because there's no identity with it. You work with it, but there's no identity. There's no attachment. Bhagavad Gita 2.13. Thus, the first instruction is that one should understand that the soul is within the body, and is transmigrating from one body to another. This is the beginning of spiritual knowledge. Any person who is not expert in understanding the science or is unwilling to understand it remains in the bodily concept of life or the animalistic concept of life, as confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam. Yasyatma buddhi kunape tri datuke saeva gokaraha. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.84.13. Right? So, or who is not expert or who is unwilling to understand. So he said the sahajas are unwilling to understand these things. Because they think it doesn't matter about this, it's just about wrong. So one stays in the bodily concept of life. Every member of human society should clearly understand the instructions of Bhagavad Gita. For only in this way can one be spiritually elevated and automatically give up the false, illusory knowledge by which one thinks, I am this body and everything belongs to this body as mine. Aham mameti. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.8, end quote. So, you see here is that when you clearly understand these by following in the, you know, the instruction of the spiritual master in that practice, that manana, then automatically you give up this false. Right? So they're taking it, oh, but it's an automatic. It's automatic when you follow the process. Does that make sense? You push the button on the washing machine, it works. It's automatic. But you have to push the button. You know? It's not that the washing machine goes around the house, collects all the clothes, asks you if you want this washed and all that.
Soon. They promise it's
going to happen. They promise. I think it's actually been there for a long time. It's called a maid. Yes.
There is already a cleaning robot. You just start and cleans everywhere.
And what happens when it runs into some socks?
That's really possible. Just avoids, because it has some laser inside and just makes a little turn as close as he can go. And just collapses.
Really? So you could just throw a bunch of socks around the thing and just wouldn't be able to function.
No, but they have this very nice. So when you go, it collects all the dust. And then at one point it throws it away.
Just on the floor.
Yes.
And then you have to clean it up.
You have to
Oh boy.
It can pick up so much dust. Even if you put like 3 times a day, tremendous amount of dust.
Oh.
You tried one.
Okay. Yeah. Oh. Keeps the cat busy.
Oh yeah, they like cats. The cat sits on the top.
And just moves around. It just sits there and Lord. Is
it.
Okay. This doggish conception should be rejected immediately. One should be prepared to understand the spirit soul and the supreme spirit, God, who are eternally related. Thus one may return home back to Godhead, having solved all the problems of life. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.7.21. Mm-hmm. Right, so this understanding that means we have our nature, that we, you know, the aspect of, you know, worrying about our existence, worrying about knowledge, worrying about being happy, that's because we have this common qualities with Krishna. It comes from Krishna. Because Krishna is Satchitananda. We're part of Him, so of course we're Satchitananda. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, that's the whole point. When one appreciates that, and then one relates to Krishna, because the relationship is there, not with the external energy, then one is, as Prabhupada said, one has solved all the problems of life. Okay, Sutra 2, 3, 27. Tad Yes.
Just a little question I have. It was said maybe two paragraphs before that to understand that knowledge, one must be trained in the mystic yoga system, or finally in bhakti yoga system.
Yes.
So mystic yoga system is like Markandeya Rishi?
The mystic yoga system is you're using, you could say, in our case, buddhi yoga.
Yes.
In connection with bhakti. So it's in pursuit of bhakti, so it brings you to bhakti. Because when we say, in this case, if we just say devotional service, then we mean the whole process of shraddha on up.
Yes.
If we make a distinction like this, then we're making the distinction between pure devotional service and mixed devotional service. So mixed devotional service is using the yoga systems.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yes.
And bhakti means it's just pure bhakti.
Yes, yes.
So it just depends upon how much is being brought out. So because they're talking about understanding the difference between the body and the and the soul, then we're dealing with the jnana yoga.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So you're starting there, and that will bring you to bhakti.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like when we point out we're the soul, not the body, and explain it,
yes.
Then through that process of jnana yoga, then when we present the bhakti yoga, that therefore, as the soul, we're eternally servant of the Lord, so we should surrender and serve Krishna.
Yes.
Then we brings us to bhakti.
Yes.
So, bhakti includes all the aspects of karma and jnana.
Mm-hmm.
But when we're using, you can say using this or using that.
Yes.
Like cooking uses all the varieties of utensils in the kitchen. It's all still cooking. But if someone just uses certain utensils, you call them by that.
Yes. Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Sutta. Okay. Tad guna saratvat tad vyapadesha pragyatvat. Pragyavat. Tat, of that, guna, quality, saratvat, because of being the essence, tat, that, vyapadeshaha, designation, pragya, intelligence, vat, like that. Oh, pragya vat. Yeah. The jiva is conscious itself, just as the Lord is so designated, because consciousness is His essence.
Mm-hmm.
Footnote 43. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that the soul's nature is consciousness. Hence, the soul's nature is to love Krishna. The saintly Paramahamsa Babaji then kindly said, "O best of devotees, now that you have heard my explanation of the true nature of the soul, what is your conclusion?" Happy to hear these words, the saintly sannyasi said, asked, "O master, if the individual spirit soul is by nature only atomic in size, how is it possible that his eternal nature is pure and perfect? If the soul is created at a certain point in time, then the soul's nature is also created at that time. If this is true, how can the soul's nature be eternally existing in past, present, and future?" Because we're dealing with the saintly, the sannyasi, because he's come from the impersonal background. So there's always the concept that the soul is created. Right, because there's just Brahman, and then you have the idea of the individual jiva that's created. Where that's created from illusion. That means coming from the external energy. Right? Hearing this question, the Paramahamsa Babaji meditated on the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya, smiled, and then replied, "O noble-hearted one, even though he is atomic in size, the soul is nevertheless perfect, pure, and eternal. His being atomic is only in relation to his substance." Right. So, in comparison, you're bringing out the atomic point because Krishna is unlimited. That's the whole point. But it's not that it's not that atomic has a problem. Right? The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna Chandra, is alone great in substance. The multitude of individual souls are His limitless atomic parts. Although the fire itself is not broken up into parts, many tiny sparks come from it. In the same way, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Conscious Being, is not divided into parts, but still a great multitude of individual spirit souls are manifested from Him, right? Because that's the other problem. It says, okay, He's there, He's coming from it, but then it's like you're taking the Supreme and dividing it up into parts.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So then now, if that's the point, then the problem comes, unless everybody becomes self-realized, then you don't, everybody doesn't go back to the, you can't function in that Brahman platform. Yeah. So that's going to be a problem. Yeah. Right? So that point will be brought up, is that it's not divided. Mm-hmm. Krishna's not divided. It's just his nature. The souls are part of his potencies. As each spark has the power of fire, so each individual soul has all the powers of consciousness. As each spark has all the burning powers of fire and can, in the right circumstances, start a fire that will burn down the entire material universe, so each individual soul has the ability to fall in love with Lord Krishna Chandra. He has the ability to be plunged in an ocean of love for Lord Krishna. As long as he is not in touch with his original nature, the conscious atomic soul cannot manifest its natural powers. In truth, the nature of the soul is considered in terms of the soul's perception of others. Okay. So, that just as the spark has the potency in the right situation to generate fire, in the same way that the soul, in the right circumstance, then can manifest his love for Krishna. So that means it's inherent. Just as the burning potency is inherent in the spark, the nature of love for Krishna is inherent in the jiva. Right? In truth, the nature of the soul is considered in terms of the soul's perception of others.
How is this related?
It seems to be the next point. Thinking, what is the soul's eternal nature? One should carefully search for the truth. The soul's eternal nature is love. Therefore, the soul is not unconscious or inanimate. It is different from unconscious matter. The soul's nature is to be conscious. The soul's nature is to love. It is pure state. Love is identical with devotional service to Lord Krishna. Therefore, love, manifested as devotional service to Lord Krishna, is the original nature of the individual soul. So that's the point. Because otherwise, if it's not in connection with Krishna, that nature, that tendency towards love, will be manifest through the external energy. Right? And then there'll be material attachment.
Yes.
So then, yeah. So it won't come out in its pure state. Right? So that point to be attached is the inherent, but that attachment to Krishna, that's the natural form. Attachment to the external energy is not the natural position. Because the soul being conscious is natural to be connected to consciousness. Material energy being unconscious, that's not the natural situation. Right? Does that make sense? You know, just be like, you have down on the street in London, there's so many people, right? You can interact, you can talk, and everything like that. Now, if you go into the building and up the stairs, and I'm not exactly sure how you say it, but something like Madame Tussaud, yeah, into her wax museum. All the people are there. In fact, all the celebrities are there. It's not just any old people. But now, what if that's your world? That's all there is. You're locked in there, and that's all there is. You know what I'm saying? And also, the fruit's made out of wax. The food's made out of wax. You understand? So that's the difficulty. There's nothing there for you, though it appears that there's nothing there. So the nature is to be in the conscious environment, not unconscious.
Material world is similar to that.
Sorry?
Material world is similar to that.
Yes. It's made to look like it's real, but it's not actually real. So,
Maharaj, here, can we say that the soul nature is to love and the soul nature is to be conscious? So it means it is equivalent. to love and to be conscious?
Yes, because how can you love if you're not conscious? And if you're conscious, then it's natural to interact. Because
yes.
If you're conscious, you'll perform action that will present results. So those results have to have some purpose.
Yes.
Right? You're not just going to do things just because you can.
Yes. Yes.
Right? So
this means to develop to work on the consciousness topics means we need to work on the affection topics also.
Means you work on both.
Yes.
Because unless the heart is purified, how do you work on the one platform? You know, on the platform
yes.
of attachment to Krishna.
Yes.
But at the same time, if you don't know that purifying the heart, the goal is actually to develop love for Krishna, then you'll just purify the heart up to what point you feel comfortable.
Yes, yes.
Does yes. that make sense?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Sutra Prakashika. The Sutrakar explains that the jiva is defined by its quality of consciousness, which is the jiva's essence, without which the jiva would cease to exist. In his future composition, in the concluding part of the concluding adhyaya in Vedanta Sutra 446, chitti tan matrena tad atma katvad it yodalomihi. It is reestablished that the jiva is consciousness, unaided. Since the Shruti state that after attaining Brahman, the jiva manifests his sarup as pure consciousness single-handedly. This is the opinion of the sage Odalomi, footnote 44. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that the jiva's prime quality is consciousness. Thus the jiva spreads by its qualities. Shankara says in commenting on Brahma Sutra 2.3.27, the jiva is said to be small, residing in the heart. It spreads through the body by the quality of consciousness. A lome bhya, a naka gre bhya. To the hairs and to the tips of the nails. To the hairs and to the tips of the nails. Chandogya Upanishad 8.8.1. Pragyaya shariram samarudya. The jiva spreads in the body of by consciousness. Kaushitaki Upanishad 3.6. Thus the jiva spreads throughout the whole body by its quality, since it is separately taught that that atma is the agent and knowledge is the effect.
Because
there's consciousness, so it's not knowledge.
Yes, yes.
Right, so it's consciousness. So here also we see is that example with the sahajiyas. They're just they're adjusting their knowledge, but it's not changing the consciousness.
Mm.
So actually, how is it improving Krishna consciousness? Right, because then if it's by knowledge, then as we said, then it's jnana yoga. And if it's jnana yoga, then we should see that's how it's being the process is given in shastra.
Yes.
But they're not so much worried about shastra, so it's a problem.
Yes. But Maharaj, for many of us, we try to develop knowledge and to get to the level of consciousness.
Yes. We're using it as part of the process of bhakti. So that's the thing. We understand that we don't have natural rag, so we follow vaidhi. It will bring us to that platform.
Yes.
But they're just taking it by some trick, then you can come to that platform.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Also, when we try to study scriptures, different books like even this, like Vedanta Sutras, then in the devotees, they ridicule us, you know, saying that we are trying to be gyanis and not bhaktas, you know. So then, how to answer them like that?
Find new friends. Change your holiday schedule and find new friends. The point is that it means sat chit and ananda, chit's part of the process. But if that's your end is knowledge, then yes, that's a problem. Bhakti is the point. Because otherwise, without it, then how is he using it? Because if that's the case, then their being professionals is a complete, total waste of time. Because it's just knowledge. Right? So they just wasted, X amount of years of their life. Right? And they say, no, I'm engaging in Krishna service. Why can they engage their mundane knowledge in Krishna service that's not Shastric? But when we study the Shastra and the knowledge there, that said, oh, that's just Gyan. Why is it that's just Gyan and not able to be engaged in Krishna service? But all the nonsense they learn from materialists is all so, so useful in Krishna consciousness. You know, why is it? It has to be not Vedic to be Yukta Vairagya, and nothing in the Vedas can be engaged in Krishna service. You know, it's a bias. It's an actual mundane bias. Like that.
Balaji Vibhushan, in the introduction to Bhagavad Gita, he explains that bhakti is actually a special type of jnana.
It's a special kind of jnana. Because we have bhakti rasamrita sindhu. So now knowing that, rasa, is that not jnana? You know, and then when they're having a meeting, then someone stands up and tries to quote from some of his past, you know, knowledge and experience, and he's not being a jnani, he's just being a pure devotee. You know, how does this work? So this bias against the Vedic culture, you know, at some point has to be given up. You know, at some point, because the fun part is Nanda Baba, when Krishna's born, he wants to do something really nice, so he holds a Vedic ceremony. So now is he a Karmakandi? You know? So this is the problem. This anti-Vedic, you know, kind of mentality, you know, is how you end up being born in the West. Yeah, so you have to give it up. And it's not an improvement, let me tell you.
That's why the Western devotee tried to come to India.
Yes, yes. As I had Prabhupada recommended, everyone spend a year in India. Right? Okay. If the word pragyaya means by intelligence, it would be impossible for it to spread in the body, since it is also anu. Pragya therefore means jiva. But there is a distinction of pragya and jiva, just as one refers to the body, and a grinding stone as different objects. But then the meaning of Shruti text would be difficult to explain. Thus, pragya refers to the jiva in the above quotation. Even if one considers the jiva as one entity, its shakti is always shown. Thus the jiva has been shown to be anu, paramatma sandarbha. Does that make sense? So the intelligence and the jiva are separate. Because of consciousness, then we see intelligence. But it's not that intelligence functions on its own without consciousness. Sri Govindavasa. Siddhanta. Because the soul is conscious itself. Oh no. Yeah, it's time to stop. I'll stop here. Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Srila Prabhupada ki
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivinda ki
Jai
Chaitanya Gaura Premanand.